So this is Aeneid, book 2, lines 201 to 211. And this section picks up after quite a big break because the last lines that were in the syllabus was line 56. So what happens between 56 and 201? Well, we meet a guy named Sinon who, is a very good storyteller, very good liar. And he tells the Trojans the story of where did the Trojan horse come from, what it was supposed to be for. And so, long story short, he tells the Trojans that it was a gift from Minerva. And if they destroy it, they'll bring down Minerva's wrath onto their heads. If they take it into the city, they'll gain Minerva's protection. So this is leading them more and more towards, we need to take it in. But there's still some holdouts. So when we get to 201, we're leading up to kind of a final omen that is going to make them want to automatically take the horse in. Okay, so we pick up with Laocoon, Neptuno Sacerdos. So Laocoon, a priest for Neptune, Duke to Sorte, chosen by lot, chosen by destiny. Tower Mingentum Maktabat was sacrificing, was slaughtering a huge bull at Ara Solemnis at the customary altars. Now, you could say solemn altars, but a lot of times this is customary, kind of the ritual stuff that he usually did. So his customary altars. Ecce altum. However, look. Gimini angues. All right, so you have to find those two words. Gimini is up in line 203. And angues is in 204, so they're separated quite a bit, but they are both nominative plural. So, however, look, twin snakes, immensis orbibus with immense coils. Horresco referens, I shudder recalling. And, of course, this is Aeneas telling the story, and he was an eyewitness. And so that's his little statement on what this looked like. I shudder recalling, like a chill goes up my spine as I remember this. Tenedos, from Tenedos. Tranquilla per alta, through the tranquil deep. Incumbent pelago. They are leaning on, hanging over the sea. Paraterque ad litera tendunt. And they are heading to the shores equally. Side by side, that parater, meaning that one wasn't really the leader, one wasn't way out in front, they were pretty much side by side. Pectora quorum interfluctus erecti. All right, so whose chests were raised up between the waves? Ubique sanguinei superant undas, and whose bloody crests overcome the waves. So you got this image here almost like the Loch Ness Monster, if you can think of that picture with the head and the neck really high above the water. It's almost like the snakes are coming in and they're looking at the shore as they're coming in. Pars catera, the remaining portion, so beyond the neck and the head, so kind of the tail end, the remaining portion. Pontum legat, skims the sea. Pone, behind, after. Sinuatque, and it twists. Okay, so what's the subject of sinuat? It's the pars, the remaining portion. It twists the immensa terga, the immense bodies. Volumine, with coil. Okay, there's so many different words for coil. So we've seen herbis here, and we've seen volumen, both coil. Fit sonitus spumante salo. And a crash occurs, a crash arises, a noise occurs. Spumante salo, with the salt spraying. And so really, this is when they're about to get on shore. If you look at the beach and you see that last wave crash as it comes into the shore, you've got spumante salo, spraying of the seawater around, which of course the sal just means salt, but it is a metonymy, is referring to the salt water or the sea. So a noise occurs, a crash arises with the seawater spraying. Yamque Arwa Tinabanta, now they were holding the lands. Okay, so now they're on shore. Now here is the problem for this section. Line 210. Sufecti. Literally having been supplied, having been filled. Sanguine et igni, with blood and fire. So what can you do with ardentes oculos? Okay, so they give you a little note on this, but this is something called a Greek middle participle, which is their way of getting around the fact that a perfect passive participle can't have a DO. And there's no such thing as a perfect active participle. And these generally do come with something called a Greek accusative. Latin authors, Roman authors refer to it as accusative of respect. Okay, so you could translate this several ways. So having been supplied with blood and fire in respect to their burning eyes. I think that still sounds very awkward. So you could say something like, with their burning eyes filled with blood and fire. Okay. And then you've got syllaba ora lambebat. They were licking their hissing mouths. Linguis vibrantibus, with vibrating tongues, with quivering tongues. Okay, so you get this image of these snakes with these eyes that are blood red, like the fires of hell in them. And then they're doing the thing that snakes generally tend to do. They've got that tongue out darting and sensing everything around. Okay. All right. So that's 211. So let me go back and retranslate the whole thing really quick. So Laocoon, a priest for Neptune chosen by lot, was sacrificing a huge bull at the customary altars. However, behold, twin snakes with immense coils, I shudder recalling, from Tenedos through the tranquil deep, they were leaning on the sea. And side by side, they were heading for the shores, whose chests were raised up between the waves and whose bloody crests overcome the waves. The remaining portion skims the sea behind and twists the immense bodies with coil. A crash occurs with salt spraying, and now they were holding the fields. With their burning eyes filled with blood and fire, they were licking their hissing mouths with quivering tongues. All right, so that is Aeneid Book 2, lines 201 to 211.